Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown where we dive deep into the numbers that matter. I'm Alex.
And I'm Jordan. Today we're breaking down Uber's first quarter 2026 earnings, and wow, this was a quarter that really showed the breadth of what Uber has become.
Absolutely, Jordan. And before we dive in, I need to mention that this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Thanks, Alex. Now, let's get into these numbers because they were genuinely impressive. Uber delivered 21% year-over-year growth in gross bookings. That's the total value of all transactions on their platform.
And what I love about this quarter is how balanced the growth was. Mobility hit 20% growth with record margins. Delivery grew 23% driven by grocery and retail. And here's the kicker. Freight returned to growth for the first time in nearly 2 years.
That freight turnaround is huge, Alex. That's been a drag on their numbers for a while, but the real standout for me was the profitability story. Non-GAAP earnings per share jumped 44% year-over-year. That's more than twice as fast as their bookings growth.
Exactly. And they returned a record $3 billion to shareholders through buybacks this quarter. But let's talk about some of the strategic milestones because there were some big ones.
Oh, absolutely. They crossed 50 million Uber One members, that's their subscription service, and hit 10 million drivers and couriers globally. CEO Dara Khosrowshahi mentioned that Uber One members now account for over 50% of their total bookings and spend three times more than non-members.
That subscription moat is becoming really powerful. They added 20 million Uber One members in just 1 year, going from 30 million to 50 million. And speaking of strategic moves, they made some big announcements at their Go-Get event.
Right, they're expanding into hotel bookings through a partnership with Expedia, adding 700,000 hotels to the platform. It's a classic Uber move. They're already huge in airport trips, which represent about 15% of their mobility bookings, so hotels are a natural extension.
And the numbers support this strategy. Khosrowshahi mentioned that 40% of U.S. riders take trips outside their home city, and globally, they had over 1.5 billion trips happening outside users' home cities last year. That's a massive travel audience to tap into.
But let's talk about what's really driving growth in their core business: insurance cost savings. This is huge for their U.S. operations, Alex.
Absolutely. CFO Balaji Krishnamurthy said they expect hundreds of millions in insurance savings this year. And here's the key: they're passing those savings back to consumers through lower prices, which is driving trip acceleration, especially in California markets like LA and San Francisco.
The elasticity story is working. Lower prices are translating directly to more trips, and LA, which had the biggest insurance headwinds over recent years, is now seeing significantly better growth trends than the rest of California and the country.
Now, we have to talk about autonomous vehicles because that dominated a lot of the Q&A session. They have over 30 Avenue partners now, and their autonomous mobility trips grew more than 10x year-over-year.
And they're on track to be live in up to 15 cities by year-end. But what's interesting is how they're positioning this not as a threat to their driver network, but as expanding the entire market. Khosrowshahi pointed out that in San Francisco and LA, where Waymo has been operating, Uber's category position is actually higher today than it was 6 months ago.
That's counterintuitive, but it makes sense. Autonomous vehicles are proving that on-demand mobility works, expanding the total addressable market. Plus, Uber launched something called Uber Autonomous Solutions to help AV partners with fleet management and operations.
And they're building out the entire ecosystem: partnerships with Hertz for fleet management, Santander for financing, and Marsh and Apollo for insurance. They're thinking holistically about what it takes to scale AVs.
Let's talk AI investments because this came up multiple times. They've actually increased their AI budget during the quarter, but they're offsetting that with slower headcount growth.
The productivity gains are real, Alex. Khosrowshahi mentioned that about 10% of their code commits now come from AI agents, and they're seeing increases in code commits per engineer. Their AI can predict where you're going 75% of the time in mobility. That's incredible.
And they're using AI for cross-platform engagement. Remember, cross-platform users are growing 1.5x faster than overall user growth. They have features like Cart Assistant, where you can just take a picture of something and it creates a shopping cart for you.
The suburban expansion story is also worth noting. Growth rates in sparse markets, both mobility and delivery, are running about 2x faster than their core urban markets. That's a huge runway for growth.
Looking forward, their guidance reflects continued momentum. They're expecting U.S. mobility to accelerate further through 2026, driven by those insurance savings and expanding into underserved markets.
From an investor perspective, this feels like Uber hitting its stride as a mature platform company. The profitability is there. They're generating massive cash flows, returning capital to shareholders, but still investing heavily in growth opportunities like AI and autonomous vehicles.
The diversification story is also compelling. They're not just a ride-sharing company anymore. They're a local commerce platform with multiple revenue streams that complement each other beautifully.
One thing to watch, though, they're making big AI investments, and the competitive landscape in delivery is intensifying, especially in Europe, where DoorDash and others are expanding. But Uber seems confident in their defensive and offensive positioning.
Overall, this was a quarter that showed Uber can grow profitably while investing in the future. The combination of operational leverage, expanding TAM through suburban markets, and positioning for autonomous vehicles creates multiple paths to continued growth.
Before we wrap up, I need to remind everyone that everything we've discussed is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence.
Thanks for tuning in to Beta Finch. We'll be back next time with another AI-powered earnings breakdown. Keep those portfolios diversified, and we'll see you soon.
Until next time.
That's all for today's earnings analysis. If you found this helpful, consider supporting Beta Finch on Patreon. Your support helps us upgrade our voices, cover more companies, and keep this show running. Visit patreon.com/betafinch to learn more. Thanks for listening.